You know, there's an amazing blindness, an acute danger that comes with focusing all Bible prophecy on your little group, looking through very narrow blinders. And this egocentrism not only reflects the incredible naivete, really, of people, but it also makes one ask, how could anyone have the effrontery to think that everything revolves around them in the Scriptures? How many through the centuries have made the same mistake, applying Bible prophecy to themselves? Well, there was a man early on named his Father Divine who blasphemously said that he was the Mighty One. And along came another one, Jim Jones, we remember, in Guyana, who thought he was the one as well. And of course, the David Koresh phenomenon, who had the same beliefs that everything was centered around their little group. And if they were gone, then everything will come crashing down. So we can see the danger of that. What this thinking really amounts to is a reflection of what philosophically has been called modernism. Modernism grew out of the 17th and 18th century Enlightenment, when secular humanism began to take form. And it basically said that man was the center of truth. So you can see how these people come along and say, well, you know, that applies to me. I am the truth. I am the true group. The reason this philosophy was that man, in his knowledge, could find truth and happiness. It's all centered on man. Then, after that, came another movement called postmodernism, which has been defined by saying that what we know basically is relative. And it recognizes that much of what we know is shaped by the culture in which we live. Truth changes with the circumstances. Your truth may be different from my truth, basically. And a pivotal tenet of that is that there are no absolutes. Along comes Darwin, you know, he pushes that and has to have an explanation for creation. So, well, we just explain that creation just happened. One thing led to another by different forms of selection and so forth. The survival of the fittest, and here we are. It's marked by tolerance. It's amorphous. It doesn't have any hard edges. It's just kind of squishy and out there, and nothing really is firm. There's no rigorous test, no touchstone, no basis for anything. Certainly not the Ten Commandments that are written on stone. That's diametrically opposed to this idea that everything is relative. Well, the Bible knows nothing about relative truth. The Bible is truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through your truth, your word. Your word is truth. So the Bible knows nothing about man's truth. It says Yahweh is truth. And without Yahweh, we wouldn't have laws at all in any culture, because he brought them to this earth. But the word is not enough for the world. They don't like some of the things it requires of them, like obedience, like loving your neighbor, like keeping scriptural laws, like changing your life. So they have a way now they can just throw it out. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. But preach the word. And then with the word, you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because that's the truth. That is your standard for truth. For the time will come, and here we are today, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Modernism, postmodernism, that's what it's talking about. Truth is relative. It doesn't matter. Yours is okay, mine's okay. Who's to say? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables. It's all a bunch of mishmash, wishy-washy, nothing. Well, in the last few years, there has also surfaced yet another twist in this strange philosophy trend of man. And it basically, again, follows society's downhill drift. What could come next? Well, churches have already tried to modify and mimic and change with the culture. I mean, if the masses are hooked on entertainment, let's build church buildings with theaters, complete with symphonies, and even Starbucks. Use any means to get them in. Anything but the word. And if people like to hear about getting healthy and wealthy by professing the Bible, not reading it, but just professing, then start preaching that. So that's what they get. It's an old ancient dodge that's been going on for thousands of years. That's how we end up with baptized pagan holidays today. Thanks to an apostate church and its desire to appeal to heathen society in order to swell its numbers. And this is where the danger lies. It's the wrong motive. Complete wrong motive in all of these things. When it comes down to altering, modifying, and compromising teaching in order to be in step with the culture, then you have heresy. And you have the emasculation of Yahweh's word in the making. And this is where we find society and religion today. It's gone from pre-modernism, which for nearly 2,000 years says the Bible is the standard. I mean, you go back to the Dark Ages and before, all the way back to Yahshua's day, the Bible is the standard. That's where truth was, and people believed it. I mean, you didn't really have a Bible oftentimes, but you believed the Bible because there weren't that many around. That was the standard. And then from there, it went to the other phases that I just talked about. Modernism, where man decides what is truth, to postmodernism, where truth is relative and always in flux, and now a new stage, a new notion. And this last stage in man's interpretation of truth has been called the emerging church, someone called it. And this new trend says, truth is out there, but we can't find it. We don't know where it is. It's out there, but basically it's unknowable. Again, same thing you find in society today. Churches just follow the religion, just follows the trend of the world. It has been doing that for 2,000 years. Go at any university and you're going to hear the same type of thing, which filters down to the mass media, down to entertainment, down to public education, and we have everybody believing it. Rather than force people to fall into a particular line of teaching, differences are tolerated. Let's all just get along because we can't know what the Bible truth really is anyway. Nobody knows. Celebrate diversity. Let anything happen. Open yourself up to any and all influences, good or bad. Do you hear echoes of, well, that's your truth, but that's not necessarily my truth? And whatever you do, don't make a stand for anything. If you do, you'll be called a bigot. That is where this notion that truth is unknowable is coming from, taken right from the front pages of your politically correct newspaper. Remember, contemporary mass consumption religion always is influenced and reflects the current thinking of the world. Our day is no different from the old compromises made in Paul's day in order to stay current with the latest thinking. He probably went up to Mars Hill, to the Areopagus up there, just to see what the next trend is going to be as he walked around and saw all these Greek thinkers sitting there with nothing else to do but just to think about things, think about thoughts. And don't come to any conclusion, but we just love to debate and think about things. And that's all they did. That's what he said. That's all he did all day long. But churchianity is not alone. More and more assemblies, which I always thought towed the line with truth and stood for black and white truth and were not influenced by the world, more and more those professing Yahweh's name are becoming just as wishy-washy and unconcerned about correct doctrine. Let's all just get along. And so Yahweh's clear commands are trashed in the interest of fellowship. May I remind us of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, the word of Yahweh is Elohim is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yahweh's word gets right down to where we live. Right down to it, and discerns our very thoughts. In today's thinking, we could rewrite this passage and say something like this. For the word of Elohim is great entertainment for those who love to debate, but who are afraid to come to any conclusion for fear we might offend. So the word is like a weather vane that swings around and points in any direction, depending on which way the wind is blowing. It doesn't direct you to any particular direction, but you can find your own way depending how you feel in your heart. As I witness this general disintegration of doctrine, I keep seeing Paul on Mars Hill walking around up there, listening to people talk about nothing more than different interpretations of philosophy, of life. Different interpretations even of Scripture, and settling on nothing because they just revel in the debate. Not the conclusions. They don't want to know how to come to the right answers. So the discussion itself becomes the end. It becomes the conclusion, and no one knows the answer to anything. If you never reach a conclusion, then you can stay forever in the bliss of ignorance, can't you? And the benefits can be very enticing. No need to make any commitment to anybody. You can just float around from group to group, condone the errors of each, have no allegiance to anything, no obligations, with no faithfulness to approved standard. You become just a spiritual bum, a perpetual taker, and a supporter of nothing. See, with no conviction, with nothing firmly in your heart, you just move in the shadows, behind the scenes, afraid to make a stand because you stand on quicksand. Revelation 3:16. Here's what Yahweh thinks about it. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's how he thinks about lukewarm. You can't play the fence. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Why is it tried in the fire? Because the truth separates. The truth sometimes causes problems. That you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, ignorance may be bliss, but it's also lethal. Remember, Mark Twain said, it isn't what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me, it's what I do understand. One thing you can take to the bank is that truth exists. Truth is there in Yahweh's word. Easily attainable and commanded by Yahweh himself to be followed. Why do we see less and less of that in the world, in religion, less and less of a willingness to follow? It's true. It's the truth. It's what Yahweh gave to us to live by. It's knowable, and we're commanded to discover within its pages the right way to live our lives. It's not of human origin. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. Inspired, that means inbreathed, outbreathed. It's profitable for teachings, doctrine, teachings, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in how to live righteously, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Bible does. So he tells us from this passage, in writing to Timothy, number one, the Scripture is inspired. It comes from Yahweh's own mind. Inspiration. Scripture is knowable. Yahweh didn't give us so that we can say, well, I don't know really what it means. I mean, your interpretation could be fine, mine could be fine. No, it's knowable, and therefore it sets teaching, correct teaching. It's also to be used for correcting ourselves and teaching righteousness, which leads to a perfect individual in Yahweh's sight. Yahweh's people don't have the luxury of sitting around in ignorance. We're directed by our Maker to dig out the truth and then follow it. You can't worship Yahweh without knowing and following his truths. John 4:24, Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, Yahweh gave us the word, and we can know the truth because he gave it to us boldly and decisively. He didn't mumble it to his inspired writers, the prophets and all those who are writing these things down. He didn't mumble his mince his words. He didn't whisper it to Moses on Mount Sinai. He thundered it. His truth and was given, and the people had to stop their ears for the pain. And then they trembled like the mountain they were standing on, like some kind of spiritual harmonics. Yahweh was there. His word was being thundered. We'd better listen. Does anyone tremble at the truth today? Does anybody? They can't even figure out what it is, let alone esteem and apply it to their lives. Yahweh says, keep my feasts, and then you shall proclaim to be holy gatherings. And they think about, maybe he's just talking about some kind of casual get-together you do when it's just convenient for you. That it's not really a law, but a suggestion with the option of maybe or maybe not, depending on my mood, whether I have used up all my leave time or something else, like my vacation. To those who don't want to hear him, he means, if you have the time and the means, come on and join me and my people at my appointed times. Otherwise, don't give it a second thought. This feast thing is just an idea I had. Don't take it personally. Hey, come next year if it works out for you with your schedule. I don't want you to feel pressured or anything. Just keep ignoring me. Just keep ignoring me and my commands, and I'll still rush to answer your prayers when you get into trouble, when you need me, and I'll charge my angels to protect you and your family and your loved ones and make sure you always have your needs met and your life is blessed. I'll comfort you in times of trial and distress and raise you up on the last day. It's okay. I'm flexible. Make me into whatever you want. I'm here to serve you. And that's the other thing that is so common today, is that people have created religion around themselves. They're at the center. Like, the Copernicus thing. And the earth at the center of the universe, what they thought. Center of man. Man's the one. And I'll manufacture whatever religion I want to suit me. The truth, brethren, is that Yahweh never hides his instructions for his human creation. He thunders them from the tops of mountains. Keep my feasts, obey my Sabbaths, my statutes and my laws. You want my blessings? You'd better get with my program. You want protection? You want salvation? Then start serving me. Because as the king of the universe, I will not let anyone into my kingdom that I cannot rule. What part of this is not getting through to people? Do we need to consult a PhD in linguistics to explain those crystal clear statements demanding our obedience? Do we need an interpreter somewhere? Should we go out and try to find somebody that can make it a little clearer? Maybe give it a little more leeway. How much simpler and plainer can he be, brethren? Well, the problem, of course, lies not with the speaker. The problem lies with the listeners who choose to have deaf ears. Isaiah 42:18, hear you deaf, and look you blind, that you may see, seeing many things, but you observe not, opening the ears, but he hears not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he has poured out his fury and his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him. Yet he laid it not to heart. How much more can you... do you want to have? Do you want to have to endure till you finally say and quit resisting and rebelling against him? See, the Bible is the product of Yahweh's mind. There's no compromise. You compromise the truth, you're compromising Yahweh himself. You can't do that. Truth and error, black and white. Our job is to find out which is which and then follow with all our strength and with all our heart. No matter what, come what may, his people will be obedient. I thought truth was relevant, people say. Nope. It's black and white. Stands on its own two legs. It doesn't slither around afraid to raise its head for fear of being called, denounced, I should say, by anti-messiahs. If you deny the truth of the Bible, then you don't have anything. You have nothing left. You know, I've met people, and I'm sure you have too, who may be atheists or agnostics, and they just don't believe the Bible. It's really hard to deal with that, isn't it? It's really hard to talk to them because you have no foundation of truth. There's nothing, no common ground, no common foundation to proceed from. The word is truth, and if you can't accept that, then there's no more to discuss. Have a good day. One of the great law psalms, you know, there are two, Psalm 19 and 119. 19 is the essence of Scripture as Yahweh really has presented it to us. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. And believe me, it does. The testimony of Yahweh is sure. We can count on it. It makes wise people that don't understand. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure. It enlightens the eyes, opens us up to truth. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than even much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. Great reward. Newsflash, the truth is knowable. In fact, we're commanded to know it and do something about it. Use it, live it. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take a PhD in astrophysics to figure it out. It doesn't even take a PhD in theology or divinity. And that one kills me anyway, a doctor of divinity. Imagine that. In Romans 7, verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of Yahweh is flawless. You can't get more direct than that. Every word of Yahweh is flawless. You know, if you go through, and I think I mentioned this before, you go through Psalm 119, what do you see in every verse? I think almost every verse in Psalm 119. Every verse talks about what? His ways, his laws, his precepts, his statutes. Go through it. Every verse says something about that. And it's the biggest, longest chapter in the or book in the whole Bible. 150 verses. Or wait a minute, I'm looking at the end of the Bible. I'm sorry, I was wrong. 176 verses. 176 verses that talk about Yahweh, the law is my delight. Your judgments help me. I'm just picking them out here as at random. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old. You have founded them forever. I cried in my whole heart, hear me, O Yahweh. I will keep your statutes. Every verse. People can read that and it goes right over their heads and don't even give it a second thought. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, that's what we see in Yahweh's word. That's how important it is to Him. Every word of Yahweh is flawless. Yes, but man corrupted the message in his mistranslations and didn't include all the books, people say, like the Apocrypha, oftentimes seeking for something more. They want more. They haven't understood or got under their belt what they've got, but they want more, something else. Oh, really? So we have an impotent, mighty one who can't communicate his true message through a human instrument. So Yahweh in their minds is either false or impotent. So is either of these the case? Of course not. But they have now altered Yahweh, made him into their own image, you see. James 2:10 is an incredible indictment of those who by their disobedience throw out the entire word. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. The smallest part of Yahweh's word stands as truth. It stands with the rest. You take it all or you take nothing. It's no smorgasbord. We must adhere to everything. Every minute part of it is Yahweh's word given to man. The Bible dramatically affects those who live by it. And Isaiah 55, verse 10, really dramatically demonstrates that. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, had some experience with that lately, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, just like rain and snow nourishing, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It's like fertilizer for the brain, for the soul. And it makes things grow when you take it in. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There's no other book, no other book like the Bible, that's self-verified. No fewer than 3,808 times in the Old Testament, the writers say that what they're saying is the word of Yahweh. Over 3,800, almost 4,000 times, they confirm that what they're writing is Yahweh's word. How many times do they have to say it before we believe it and follow it? People have been duped by this idea of easy believism. You just believe, that's all you need. And if they ever kind of, you know, get near the law, you ever seen this? You know, they're talking and they kind of get near it, but immediately, oh, now, nothing you have to do. It's all, you know, through faith alone. They get so close to almost saying, I'd like to refer them. We'll just go ahead and start reading Psalm 119 and then tell me that obedience to Yahweh and His statutes isn't important. But anyway, they always got to stick that in there. Nothing you need to do. Nothing to do but believe. It's so entrenched, it's like concrete. And it's difficult to dislodge this mindset in people because that's all they've heard all their life, especially now. And if one believes the Bible is the inerrant word of Yahweh, you really can't do anything but follow it, really. Think about it. If you believe it's Yahweh's word and you believe in, there is Yahweh in the heavens, you have to follow it. There are 2,600 direct claims to inspiration in Yahweh's word. Somebody calculated 680 in the Torah, 1,307 in the prophets, 418 in the historical books, and 195 times in the poetic books. So 2,600 times they claim inspiration. 3,800 times the Bible identifies itself as speaking the word of Yahweh. In the New Testament, there are at least 1,000 references to the Old Testament. That tells us that the New Testament writers believed in, founded the truth on the Old Testament. 320 times they quote the Old Testament. Whenever you read the word scriptures in the New Testament, they're almost always talking about the Old Testament. We got a book on that. If I brought a copy. Yeah, here it is. We call it The Old Testament Lives, and we go through some of these things. If to get done reading, I think you'd have to be convinced. You know, the Old Testament is the foundation. That's the first thing they throw out, the foundation. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto Elohim. Study what? In Timothy's day, that's all they had, the Old Testament. Yeah, we lost it. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more unrighteousness. That's what I call these different movements, profane and vain babblings that there's no truth in them. And they'll increase more into more of the same, more unrighteousness, people not adhering to Yahweh and His word. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Have you read or heard people talk about the book of Revelation saying it's already been fulfilled? There's a big teaching out there. Revelation's already been fulfilled. How? In what way? I don't know. But that's what this, when I read this, it reminded me of that. Who said the resurrection has already passed and overthrow the faith of some by what they say. Well, as the trends reveal, there will be fewer and fewer who will be willing, to rightly divide the word and then stand on it no matter what. Not be ashamed of it, but with full confidence. When Isaiah 59:14 tells us that the truth has fallen in the streets, and yes, that truth actually fails in the heart of men, then we shouldn't be surprised to see further erosion of the biblical standard. But you know, that shouldn't discourage us. Let's turn to that, Isaiah 59:14. And I think when it says fallen in the streets, tells us that in society in general, or it wouldn't use those terms. It's fallen. It's nowhere to be found. Let's look at verse 12, Isaiah 59:12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and departing away from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. That's what we've talked about all day in this message. Words of falsehood in the heart. Notice 14. And judgment. Judgment is turned away. Judgment. Being able to give a right judgment. Righteousness, as well, is encompassed in that word. Righteousness is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And you will, when you make a stand on the Bible, you'll be attacked. Anything goes. We talked about these different ideas, you know, that truth is relative. And anything is tolerated except someone who believes in absolute truth. That's not tolerated. That doesn't fit the mold, you see. That doesn't work among those who want to get away from anything concrete. Truth has fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. You make yourself a prey, and Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. There was no righteousness. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from their transgressions in Jacob, says Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed's seed, says Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. When Yahweh's truth indwells with us, there's nothing we can do but continue to follow it. And that shouldn't discourage us to hear that, you know, things are going to get worse, and we know they are, but really embolden us, knowing that, you know, we're out here holding up the standard against all this error and all this craziness that we keep seeing unfold in our world, knowing that the word we preach is being fulfilled. I guess that's what the greatest thing is. And we can stand on His precepts, and we can rest assured that we have Yahweh's favor if we remain true to Him. May Yahweh bless you.